Hey everyone, Ryan here. Just a quick warning, at around the 45-minute mark, me and Jordan start talking about Breaking Bad. If you haven't seen it, I suggest that you turn it off at that point because we really we spoiled the hell out of this season. So, yeah, don't ruin it for yourself if you haven't seen it. Just stop the episode there. We pretty much do Breaking Bad, then get right out. So, enjoy. Welcome back, everyone, to You Killed It, the Real World Road Rules Challenge podcast. I'm Ryan Kane.
Jordan Strickland.
How's it going, Jordan?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We missed another week.
We did. I'm not going to apologize this time.
You don't have to. It was my fault.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. I had family in town.
So oh, okay.
I couldn't squeeze it in and... Yeah.
How's the fam? Fault.
They're doing all right.
That's great.
It's nice to see them.
Mm-hmm. It's very early right now.
Or did you just roll out of bed and turn on your computer?
Kind of. I had to wake up about an hour ago though to watch the show because I hadn't had a chance to watch it.
I see. Well, yeah, it helps when you get when you at least have that hour to
Yeah.
Kind of watch and wake up. And
yeah. Whatnot. I had a show last night until 2 in the morning, so not feeling the greatest right now, but you know what? I'm going to rally because these fans that listen to this mean a lot more to me than...
Sleep?
Sleep. That's right.
Okay. Same here.
Well, how should we go about this? Because we have two episodes to cover again. Let's just do the highlights from episode 7, and then we'll go into the Thrilla and Camilla episode.
Sure thing. First thing I wanted to touch on was we're kind of getting down to the wire. How are you feeling on your team picks and whatnot?
Well, my first team pick was Zach and Trey, which have been eliminated for weeks at this point. So
you're not feeling great about Zach and Trey anymore?
No. That might be a shock to you, but... I don't feel that they're going to win this challenge. I'm not sure why I feel that way, but I just have a feeling. And my other pick was Emily and Paula. They're still doing fine, but they've kind of their streak is over. And I'm now kind of hoping that Cook and Cara Maria can pull it together and get to the final. Because I think if they got to the final, they'd have a pretty good chance of winning. Although they haven't been really performing in the actual challenges, but...
No, they haven't.
They seem to be in marathon shape, though. Well, I think that's why everybody is afraid to have them in the final challenge, because, I mean, you definitely would rather have Anissa in there rather than Cook and Cara Maria.
It's true, but at the same time, Cara, I know I'm jumping ahead quite a bit, but in the swimming challenge, Cara gassed out.
I don't know if it was an issue of gassing out. I don't know what happened, but I don't think it was an endurance thing. She
was breathing heavy. She was...
Well, I thought she got the wind knocked out of her or something, and that's why she was saying she couldn't breathe.
Fall was not that bad.
It didn't look bad, but I can't think of another explanation. She apparently can't swim.
You refused to look at the other explanations.
Well, how could she have been... gassed out? She hadn't moved yet when she was already having trouble swimming and stuff. There's nothing, no gas to be expelled.
She gassed out before she even got up on the platform, Jordan. She can just psych herself out, you know that.
Okay, well, I'll I'll agree to that maybe she had psyched herself out. She does go, I don't know why, it's weird, they always do good in the jungles, but they can't really pull it together in the actual challenges very well.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people
Some people are like that. Like, remember Kaylee? She used to always be like that. She would do terrible in challenges and constantly get voted into the elimination and then just kill it. She, like, took out half of a fucking season one year. It, you know, some people can't perform unless it's do or die.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But now we're jumping ahead again, but I just wanted to mention that on that episode, it didn't really matter that they lost anyway. In fact, it stirred things up a little because they didn't have their go-to person to vote into the challenge. They had to make a decision and vote in a team they didn't necessarily want to go in, which was nice for a change.
It's true. It does kind of make for more interesting television when they have to go into the jungle. Because, like, why make it easy for anyone? Like, why make that vote easy?
You know?
Like, in fact, Cook and Cara Maria, if they feel like they're going into the jungle this 1 week, they should just throw it, you know? That way, you know,
it's a strategy.
Cause a little bit more drama in the house.
Yeah. I at this point, it's like there's no chance that they're not going to get voted in. So I guess unless you want to win the $1,000 from the challenge or whatever, there's really no reason not to throw it.
Yeah.
I mean, $1,000 is nice, but.
When it's like a girl elimination day, do the winning girls even get the $1,000? I thought they just got to be, I thought the $1,000 was just to make it so like,
yeah, you're right.
The opposite sex performs.
You're right.
So, I mean, Cook and Cara Maria, like, again, jumping ahead after the swimming challenge, Cara Maria came in and said to Cook, like, you know, I know I sucked today, but even if we didn't lose, we still would have been going in. And like, if that's your point of view on it, just throw it. Just like commit to going in. It'll freak out the fucking competitor, like the competition. Like, oh damn, they're so confident that they're going to win in the jungle that they won't even try in the challenge.
Is there a team left that you think could destroy Cook and Cara Maria in the, well, I guess Emily and Paula would be the one.
Yeah.
That's about it though, right? Camilla.
They're the only team that could destroy them.
Yeah.
But I feel like the other three girl teams are very evenly matched. So.
And Paula and Emily aren't going into the jungle. There's a very slim chance of that happening.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let's take a step back. Let's go back to the challenge from a couple weeks ago. What happened?
Our format for the podcast is like the format for Breaking Bad. We give a little taste of the end, and then we jump back to the beginning.
We show Walter White in a beard with hair and a rocket launcher, and then we just go all the way back. How did he get there? Nobody knows.
All the way back to friction between Anissa and Diem. Diem, like, one thing that kind of gave me more confidence in Diem is that we find out that she's like a compulsive like runner.
Yeah.
Like she like, and so much so that she's like getting on Anissa's nerves, like with how much she's like, come on, let's go for a run. Let's work out. And it also made me think that like Anissa isn't as committed to it as Diem, but she still seems to like, to work out and try to keep in shape throughout this thing. So
yeah, the weird thing was, Diem, she was getting all pissed off at Diem, but then later in the episode, during the fight, I don't remember who was fighting, but you see Anissa in the background doing wind sprints. So
yeah,
it was kind of weird. But I guess it makes sense that Diem does a lot of running because she's always pretty good in the final challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows? Again, you know, the three girl teams are pretty well matched. The challenge for that episode was the blind leading the blind, the dog shock collar.
Oh, right.
Challenge.
That was kind of, it was fun watching people get shocked, but it was frustrating at the same time. People just stand there. The girls, I guess. I forget which girls. I think John A. and Nani had a pathetic showing.
It truly was one of the worst.
They're just standing in place, like yelling at each other for each other to do something, and they didn't do anything.
That challenge had a 30-minute time limit. They stood at the starting line for 30 minutes, mm-hmm. just shaking.
Yeah.
Shaking like the dogs that those collars were made for.
Exactly. There's people yelling, like, go towards the shock the whole time. That's, I don't know. I don't know how you don't figure out what the strategy is. Or are you, or if it's that, I don't know. How bad could it be?
They were just scared. Like, you know, John A gets freaked out and then shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
Yep.
So should we just get to the winners of that challenge, since it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly not the most exciting challenge. There's no skill involved. It's all pretty much, like, just committing to getting shocked and then the luck of, like, finding your way to the finish line, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, Frank and Johnny won, and I think Wes and CT did pretty good. It's funny, Wes and CT seem to come in second a lot of times, and Frank and Johnny edged them out consistently. Mm-hmm. And the prize winners for the girls were Anissa and Diem. And last place for the guys was Leroy and Ty. How did that happen?
Yeah.
They were turned around too, weren't they?
Yeah, they just got mixed up in the beginning and it threw them off, and they just couldn't. Like, you head in the wrong direction for like a minute and you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So after the challenge, we see Frank and Johnny kind of pitching the idea to the girls of throwing in Jordan and Marlon.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan kind of catches wind of this and, like, you know, doesn't exactly go at Frank, but, like, certainly lets him know, like, hey, I know what you're up to. And Frank, you know, you can't criticize Frank for anything. So,
well, that was so confusing. There's a lot of Frank does things and then he just flat out denies them and gets pissed off when people, like, he was talking about voting in Jordan and Marlon.
Yeah, George, don't, like, look, you're falling for Frank's bullshit. It's not confusing at all. You had it right. It's that Frank does things and then instantly denies them.
So he did that, but then it's because he gives so much energy saying, like, you're wrong and you're in the wrong, that it's like, maybe he didn't? Like, he actually does make me think maybe he was talking about something else, but it was blatant. He was talking about voting them in.
Yeah.
And Jordan was just, I mean, he gets so pissed off. The funny thing is, well, if he just handled it like Johnny handled it, which is just like, you know what, you're rookies, this is just the way the game's played, don't worry about it, like, just man up and do it. That's all you have to do. It shut Jordan right up. So
and that's a, truth be told, that's usually a perfectly good explanation.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, of course we want you to go in.
Yeah. If you just decide, like, just say that, yeah, that's what we're doing. This is why.
Yeah, why not you? Mm-hmm. Why would we not vote you in?
Mm-hmm.
What? What, you think we like hanging out with you? You think you're the funniest? You think, think we enjoy constantly hearing you, you second guess everything that comes out of our mouths?
Mm-hmm.
No, come on, Jordan. You're going in. But at the same time, I dug Jordan being completely willing to get in Frank's face about it.
Yeah.
Like, this episode made me like Jordan a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm like, I feel that Jordan and Marlon have a really, really good shot at this.
I don't, but I don't dislike Jordan at all. Especially, okay, like his name.
So yeah, your pick for the guys is out. So now who do you think?
Well, it'd be easy to say Frank and Johnny. I think it's between Frank and Johnny and CT and Wes. Although Wes is gonna blow it in the final challenge, probably. Who else is left for the guys? You got
Knight and Preston.
Oh,
that's
is that
that's
it?
That's it. It's Knight and Preston. It's Frank and Johnny. It's Jordan and Marlon. It's CT and Wes.
Well, it's going to be... I guess you could be right. Like, they could... If they can hang in till the final, I guess they... Are, what's going on? Like, how many teams are going to be in the final, do you think? Two guys and two girls?
I think it's going to be three guys, and I think it's three and three. We're, like, almost done.
So we have, like, we two have... episodes left before the... Because it'd be one guy challenge, one girl challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I got to go with Frank and Johnny. It's hard not to go with them. But I think CT and Wes are definitely... If Wes is in shape, they could definitely dethrone them. Pretty easily.
Here's what I've been thinking about. We've seen Wes perform really poorly in finals recently. You know, like, sure, he used to be like a swimmer, used to compete a lot, used to be in really great shape.
His muscles have gotten smaller every season.
And now what I hear is he just, like, sits around all day smoking pot. That's not going to make you ready for the marathon that's ahead of you, you know?
It's true.
Now Johnny is, he's sure, he's big and strong, but I don't know. Does he have it in him for that marathon? Like, when Frank and John, like, the swim to the buoy, Frank made it fine, but Johnny was struggling a little bit. You know, I feel like Wes and Johnny could be bad for their team. Now, something about Jordan and Marlon, both really great athletes, work together really well. The youngest guys there, you know?
Marlon's a quitter, though.
I don't know. He was being swept away to sea,
He stopped swimming because he's a pussy, and he just quit.
The current took him halfway out to the ocean.
You don't quit, Ryan.
He's realistic about the situation. I feel like as long as the final challenge is on land, he's going to do just fine.
That's a big if.
It's true. But... Look, Jordan and Marlon perform well, always, you know?
Well,
I think they have a good chance.
But to your point about Johnny and Wes, I would take Johnny over Wes as far as who's weaker.
I think
Johnny's stronger than Wes.
Okay.
So anyway... Leroy and Ty, they had the blocking and running into each other through a hallway challenge. I don't remember what they called that.
Yeah, I forget that one.
In that jungle. And Leroy and Ty, you know what was funny? I watched it online and I thought it was a cliffhanger because the feed cut out right at the cliffhanger when we weren't sure who was going to win. So I don't even know how that ended, really. I assume it was really close, and apparently Leroy and Ty got voted out.
Well, how did it go? Ty was basically just pinned to the ground. Jordan slipped past, was able to slip past Leroy and got to made this flying leap at the barrels. Looked like he could have broke his neck.
That's what I saw in the recap. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he really hit that shit hard. But yeah, did really great. Was able to shake Leroy, who had them, like, basically pinned against a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Marlon and Jordan, they...
That's a pretty good... if they can beat Leroy and Ty, that's a pretty good sign, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Because the way it was that Jordan and Ty... were playing offense, and then Marlon and Leroy were playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
During the last round, it kind of got switched around, where the defense was holding like the offense back. And so it ended up where Leroy, who is, you know, probably one of the strongest competitors there, was holding back Jordan, and Jordan was able to shake him. Jordan got to the bell. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have high hopes.
Well, let's get into this week's episode then. First, I want to start with coughing, and then a little little tidbit about Jahna that backs up our theory about her. Last season, she was going out with Zach, and then we find out that she's now Frank's roommate, and she moved in with Frank after she broke up with Zach, and it's like she needs somebody to take care of her. Like, that's what we were saying. She just bums along on people's couches until the next challenge, and Frank was there to sweep her up or whatever. But why does she need somebody? Like, get a job. Why do you need somebody to take care of you? Why do you have to be on somebody's couch? Get an apartment.
Yeah, like, I remember when the Real World first started, she seemed like she had her shit together. And to be fair, if I remember correctly, she is from, like, I think she was, like, maybe adopted or, like, a foster kid or something like that.
Yeah.
So she had a tough go of it. But when she went into the Real World house, it seemed like she had it together. It seemed like she was, I don't know, she seems like she's had a bit of a backslide, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The weird, well, if she was adopted, because she was on that reality show when she was a kid. Mm-hmm. So who put her on that reality show? I need to know more about Jahna. We should get her on the podcast.
We should. You know,
ask
who
her
else
the tough
I
questions.
Thought? You know who else I thought would be good on the podcast and might actually be down with doing it is Paula.
Yeah.
Have we ever tried to get Paula on the podcast?
No, but that would be cool. Yeah.
I would like to talk to Paula.
Yeah, she might do it. That would be pretty exciting, actually.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
A lot more than Carly. No offense, Carly. Four years ago, the last time we tried to get somebody on here.
She was a damn good guest.
She was nice. Anyway, this episode had a good challenge, except for I didn't like how it was done. Do you want to get into anything before we get to this challenge?
Well, there was a pretty big... the thing is called... what is it? Camilla what?
The Thrilla in Camilla.
Thrilla in Camilla. Camilla gets into it before the challenge.
Well, it started off with a party time at the dance club thing. Everybody's shit-faced. They get back to the house, and I don't remember. I just watched it, but I can't remember how it started. Camilla just...
Well, what starts it is that...
Jemmy and...
Frank and Jahna are talking about, like, Frank's giving it to Jahna, like, listen, you know, I'll never say your name. You two and I came into this friends. We're leaving here friends. I got your back. You got mine. We're all good. You know who I hate? Jemmy. She's an ugly-ass bitch. She is the... Frank just goes off on Jemmy,
yeah,
saying some of the meanest shit I have ever heard.
But how did Jemmy hear that?
Well, I feel like we may have... When Jemmy is talking tonight about, like, why didn't you defend me, I feel like we maybe didn't see exactly what was going on. Like, mm-hmm. Jemmy didn't hear exactly what Frank said... Or what we saw Frank say.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet that, like, Frank was mouthing off, like, around Jemmy in a different scene. And like, that's what they were talking about.
Well, the funny thing is, why the hell would Jemmy expect Frank Knight to defend her? Like, he's the one calling her a moron most of the time. Why would he be doing any defending?
But he's doing it with love.
Yeah, it's true. But why would you expect him, of all people, to defend you?
No, I completely agree, especially after some of, like, the arguments that they've had so far. But I guess generally they still get along. But
at the point when he calls Jemmy a moron, that's when Camilla snaps on him and does the thing I hate most in reality shows, instead of clapping in his face this time when yelling, she was pounding on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Wake the fuck up!
And, like, it starts out where I'm, like, on Camilla's side. I am totally agreeing with her, where she just gets in Jemmy and Knight's face and is like, listen, don't fucking start this shit. You two should not be screaming at each other. The problem is with Frank, not with each other. Jemmy, stop getting on this case. You need to fucking focus on the game. And at this point, now Camilla's heated.
Mm-hmm.
So her level-headed thinking turns into crazy shouting.
She has a moment like this every season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great because every season that it happens, they're able to cut back to the previous season where it happened the last time.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny is like, listen, guys, just try to ignore her. She's out of her mind. That sends her on an even bigger freak out. I recently saw a picture of Camilla that explains the whole thing. She was double fisting her drinks. One hand was a Red Bull. The other hand was a can of beer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where she gets all this explosive, crazy energy.
You know what I noticed about fights on this show is almost 100% of the time, it starts off with a minor conflict between two people. Somebody else gets involved, and then a third person comes in, and then the main conflict happens between the two people who weren't even involved in the original conflict.
Yeah.
Over nothing. Right. Like they get into it. They get really heated over nothing. It's very interesting.
Yeah. All alcohol fueled, so that
absolutely
makes a bit more sense. But yeah, so then, you know, Camilla stops screaming at Jemmy, and Knight goes on to scream at Johnny. Johnny doesn't back down, mm-hmm. Keeps calling her crazy, to the point where Emily and Paula and Jemmy all have to pin Camilla down to a bed, holding her arms and her legs so she doesn't kick or punch through a plate glass window.
Yeah. They're yelling at her to stop kicking at the window, and she says, I think she said why or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to break the window. I can't remember who said it, but it was somebody made a comparison to the cops videos when the guy is on PCP or something, and it takes mm-hmm. 25 guys to hold him down.
Exactly.
So that's Camilla.
Although it was coming out of Johnny's mouth, which only made things worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There we are. The thrill in Camilla.
Mm-hmm. It was nice.
At that point, we move on to the challenge, which was called Swingers.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you like this one?
You know, I would have liked it until I realized it was actually probably the 20th or the 10th person that went, that when I finally realized that in order for the second swing to work, you need both people on it, I guess. Because CT just it just fell down, kind of. Like, it didn't go anywhere. About that?
I think you're thinking of it as, like, a traditional trapeze sort of setup. But yeah. What it actually was, there was one trapeze swing that led you to the second bar, and the second bar didn't swing. It just it was a weighted bar that would lower you to the water.
Well, what's the point of that?
Truthfully, there's no point. And anyone that tried for that second bar, you know,
I think you have to be wrong, because if they knew that, why would they even? I mean, they're wasting time. If they don't just, you would just try to get the best swing that you could to get as far as you could off that first bar.
No, you're absolutely right, but come on, they're idiots.
I think it would swing if they got both people on it, but we would never know because no team got both people on it.
No team got both people on it, but some people did, like, get really controlled, like, grabs on that bar, and it just lowers down. You can even see in certain shots the counterweight head up. When Frank grabs it or when CT grabs it,
yeah,
you can see the weight going up as they, like, slowly go down towards the water.
Well, the funny thing is, if you just, like, knew that you were going to jump off, the fall wouldn't be so bad. But it's grabbing at the thing that makes your fall horrible.
Exactly. Well, like, that's the thing. MTV knew that if they said, like, okay, so all you have to do is grab onto this bar, swing out, let go and fall into the ocean and then swim the rest of the way, you wouldn't get these great falls.
Well, it's a better challenge. MTV has to, like, they had a similar challenge. I don't know if it was last year, but that one was one where you did have to, or it would have been better for you if you did grab the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's where I think some of the confusion came in, because that year the idea was that you and the partner jumped off of a platform and then grabbed a bar,
mm-hmm.
and then the bar would kind of like, it was like a zip line, mm-hmm. almost, and it would take you like halfway down the river.
Mm-hmm.
Where this wasn't exactly the case, but MTV knew that, like, we gotta fucking spice this thing up. They gotta think that there is some sort of advantage to grabbing that second bar.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they'll all really try to grab it and have these completely uncoordinated falls. And it'll be much more entertaining for you and I, Jordan.
Well, I guess it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas certain people seem to kind of realize that there is no point to grabbing that bar and, like, tried to get, like, controlled falls, you know?
What I couldn't figure out is the people who didn't let go when it was time to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Cara Maria did a full other swing.
Yeah.
I don't understand. But there was, I mean, the thing they couldn't have predicted was the riptide or whatever pulling everybody out. That was kind of interesting. But the weird thing was, it was never both teammates that got caught in the rip current. It was just one. So
that's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Which, I don't understand that. And also, if they were smart, they would know that you just swim out into the bay a little bit to get out of that current. It's not the entire bay. It's just probably 5 or 10 feet of exactly where you're at. You swim horizontally, and then you're out of it, and then you can make it. Marlin. Quitter.
Yeah. All right, that's a pretty good point. But I mean, heat of the moment, Jordan. All you're thinking about is drowning and winning.
So. Well, I'll tell you what I hate about Marlin. What is going on with my computer? Okay, never mind. My mouse is dead, I think. Anyway, Marlin, Jordan was like, "Are you quitting?" Because Marlin just wasn't swimming. When somebody asks you if you're quitting, you don't shut down. Like, that's what he does. He's like, "Oh, you want me to quit? I'll quit." You're supposed to get fired up and be like, "No, I'm not quitting." And, you know, I think that's what Jordan was going for. He wasn't expecting Marlin to just be like, "Oh, you think I'm going to quit? Fine, I'll just quit then." That's a bad attitude, Ryan.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, Marlin is going on his, like, okay, so they just got done filming The Real World, and then they jump right into the challenge. Marlin has probably had his fucking fill of Jordan criticizing every goddamn thing he does, and the last thing he needs is for Jordan to be criticizing him, where he's being, like, swept down into sea by a riptide, looking like a fucking fool. Like, come on, let's cut Marlin some slack. Marlin was realistic about it. You know, he knew, like, shit, I'm all the way out here. I'm farther away from the buoy in the opposite direction than the buoy is to the finish line.
Yeah.
Clearly just not a strong swimmer. And probably exhausted.
Make all the excuses you want, Ryan.
I'll make all the excuses I need. Marlin's winning this thing, Jordan.
You know, with Diem and Anissa, I do get why people would be annoyed by Diem. Like, it's just like positivity where I don't need positivity. It's like, yeah, I'm swimming, I'm fine. And then when they get to the final, the finish, she's like, "Oh, good job." Like, it's just, she's condescending without actually trying to be condescending.
No, I know exactly. I completely agree. And it actually feels like condescension masked with positivity. You know what I mean?
Well, that I agree. That,
like, kick off me.
Yeah, you know? I don't think she would see it that way, but it behind that is the the idea that she's better than Anissa and Anissa mm-hmm. needs help. So it is.
Yeah, like I'm fairly certain that Anissa is older than Dayum too.
Yeah.
So like come on, no one wants that.
And Anissa, although she's not my favorite person and can be a bitch at times, she does have a mature, I do feel like she's more mature than most of the people on the show.
Yeah.
Like she's more level-headed in a lot of areas.
Which isn't always something that we can say about Anissa, but it's certainly something that we could say more recently.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I mean, like, sure, Anissa was kind of struggling, but Anissa also seemed to realize that the whole kick-off-me idea was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And it's like, just, no, you get there, I'll get there slightly after you, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, it would be frustrating being a teammate with Dayum.
So anyway, Cara, Maria, and Cook are in last place, as we discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. And then Frank has another, wait, was it Frank? About voting in John A and Nani? Yeah, because he's Nani or John A's roommate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep your name out of my mouth. And so then he... I can't figure Frank out because he did the thing again where he said he didn't do anything wrong, but he clearly did go against his word. I guess technically he told her up front that he was probably going to vote her in, which isn't necessarily stabbing someone in the back. Stabbing him in the front, kind of, I guess.
Yeah, that was a weird situation. I feel like, okay, so Jordan, you and I go into this thing together.
Mm-hmm.
We have each other's back. Now it's coming down to who's going into the jungle. You have two votes against you. There's one vote for Paula and Emily. I'm the last vote. Is it cool with you if I just say your name so I don't like get additional heat from one of the other girls' teams? Like there at this point there is absolutely no way I can save you. If I say your name, would you hold that against me?
No, as long as we had, I mean, it might annoy me in the moment, but if I understood that's what you were doing, that would be fine, I think.
And I kind of feel that that's what happened there with her and Frank. Because it was two votes for Nani and John A, one vote for Emily and Paula.
Mm-hmm.
The last vote came down to Frank and Johnny. There's no way that Johnny is going to say Paula's name.
Mm-hmm.
That's off the table. So the possibility of a tie is off the table. The other possibility is Frank and Johnny say Anissa and Dayum, which would then, you know, Dayum would not take that shit lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be like, well, you know, that vote didn't matter. You know you weren't going in. Dayum would take that shit personally.
Yeah.
You goddamn know she would.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so Frank and Johnny were like, all right, yeah, John A and Nani, I guess. And there it is.
Yep. And,
but you're right. At the moment, I could see taking it a little bad, but try to be level headed about this shit.
Mm-hmm. So they get voted in, John A and Nani, Carmery and Cook. My favorite challenge from this season came back, which is the snapper challenge where they have to break a wooden stick over each other.
AKA the lightsaber fight.
Mm-hmm. And this one, it's kind of up for grabs. I don't know. I was glad to see, I kind of like the winning streak from Cook and Cara Maria, even though, I mean, I just like the underdog thing, so I was rooting for them, but they could have easily lost. I don't know. They didn't really have a better strategy than Johnny and Nani, necessarily.
Yeah, you're right. Like, on both counts, it seemed like a really kind of even game for them to play. It was like they were evenly matched. But at the same time, an underdog winning streak is really, it's fun, mm-hmm. you know?
Makes for good challenge and good pod.
Mm-hmm. And I could totally, I am not at all disappointed with the results, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They
came up with a strategy of using code words north, south, east, and west to mean front, forward, backward, left, and right.
Which, shit, man. You gotta get. How are you gonna crack that code?
Yeah.
What could it possibly mean?
What they should do is come up with a strategy right off the bat, like. Instead of, I mean, you could have north, south, east, west, but there should be a get low and swing hard like thing, like go forward, like the in code words, they should be saying get forward, get forward, get forward, drop on your belly and swing as hard as you can to avoid the, but because you only have a second before the other team member is going to be able to tell you that the other team is getting lower. So you kind of just have to get close. That's what I guess that would be my strategy. They didn't do the get low strategy in this one, but I feel like it would have worked. Break it over their kneecap.
Yeah, I feel like if you come up with a good plan and are able to kind of act quick,
mm-hmm.
there's no way for the other team to kind of like one thing that I thought of is if one of the teams just kind of backed up, found where the ring ended, followed the ring around,
got behind them.
It would lead them literally right to the other person, and there is no goddamn way that like John A would be able to explain to Nani what was going on.
Yeah, you know? Like she's around the ring.
South. Oh shit! And you know, you could just fucking like a baseball bat take her goddamn head off. You know.
On the second one, when it was Cara Maria, I thought that she had lost because I thought she just dropped her stick, but I guess it broke right at the hilt, right when where she was holding it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of had to do a replay on that one too because that's exactly what I thought had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Cara Maria fucking held her own.
So they're back, and everybody's upset because. They got the team that they wanted gone. They're still there. So we'll see what happens.
I'm not upset about it.
What was that?
I'm not upset about it.
No, I'm not upset about it. So we assume we have two more regular episodes and then probably two final episodes. Is that right?
I feel like they'll do the final in one. We probably have three more normal episodes. Then a reunion and maybe a shit they should have shown.
Mm-hmm.
Because last year, I feel like last year they didn't do a shit they should have shown, but I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I don't think they did. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Anything else to add about the challenge TV show?
Well, one thing that we didn't touch on is that after the challenge, we do see that Cook is getting a little bit frustrated with Cara.
Yeah.
Like, how she, like, gave up and was having trouble swimming. Mm-hmm. And even in the episode before, I forget exactly what it was, but, Cook was kind of, like, talking to Cara and kind of criticizing her, but really trying to be, like, jokey and laughy about it. Like, well, you know, if you're getting shocked, you know, don't freak out. There's nothing good about that. Just try to keep, ha, ha, ha. But it seems like Cara Maria's performance is starting to get on Cook's nerves a little bit.
Yeah. And Cara Maria did have she did... Obviously, they would have gotten voted in if they didn't lose, so it's a valid point. But at the same time, if you had won, then you wouldn't have gotten voted in. if you
exactly
so
exactly.
There
is one surefire way of not getting voted in.
Yeah,
you know.
So good episode. I just want to touch on Breaking Bad real quick because I feel like this season is dynamite and the last episode was one of the best episodes ever.
I can dig it.
With the confession, the fake confession and everything. Oh, man, it's getting great. And also, yeah. Have you been listening every Monday? Bill Simmons and Chuck Klosterman have been doing like a Breaking Bad recap, which I just found out this week. So you might want to check that out if you haven't.
Oh, I'm in on it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's dynamite, and I can't wait for the end. And, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's, damn, it's been good, man. And, like, the fucking, like, last scene in the last episode.
Jesse dumping gasoline.
Kicking the door down and just fucking dousing the house in gas, man.
It took me a few seconds to figure out what had even happened, because I had to, I mean, it's been 2 years, really, since season 4, so with the whole, maybe you can clarify this for me, because Jesse got pissed off because Saul had helped lift the rice and cigarette off from him, and Walter had poisoned that kid Brock, but mm-hmm. The funny thing was, I don't remember how the ricin came into play, because Walt didn't use the ricin. He made some other poison with that plant. And then didn't they find the ricin cigarette in the... Or, like, he replaced it in the... I mean, it was part of Walt's plan to make Jesse think that he had used the ricin. I just don't remember. I guess I should go watch the finale of the last season again. Or the fourth season.
It was...
I'm sure it makes sense. There's no way that they would make a mistake that like that that didn't make sense, but... I can't mm-hmm. remember.
Yeah, it was basically just to kind of what like freak Jesse out, make him think that that he had a part in Brock getting sick.
Right.
And then later they found like Walt planted the cigarette in the Roomba,
right,
in Jesse's vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So
what he figured out in this past episode was that he was played, basically. Like, mm-hmm. they did lift the cigarette, and Walt did. So that would mean that Walt did poison Brock. But Brock didn't die, right?
No.
Because on, I thought Bill Simmons said that the kid died, but he didn't die. So then Jesse's going nuts, and I can't wait for tonight.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
And
I can't wait.
In your opinion, is Breaking Bad the best show of all time? If they can keep this tension rising and they do a good finale, which I am thinking they're going to do an amazing finale. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be great. Is Breaking Bad the best show ever, in your opinion?
Jordan.
Yeah.
We're doing... You Killed It, the Real World Road Rules Challenge podcast, and you're asking me if Breaking Bad is the best show of all
the
time?
The best story show.
You son
show.
Of a bitch.
The best story show, not reality show. I mean, obviously the challenge is right up there, but come on.
Yeah. I'll give best, best non-reality.
Good.
Yeah. If we got to break it down into categories, yeah, I'll give it to Breaking Bad.
Dexter is floundering coasting to a stop near the end. We got three episodes left. And
What? I am way behind on Dexter.
Oh, okay.
I can't get into that.
Like way behind, like, seasons behind or what?
Yeah.
Oh,
seasons
okay.
behind.
You know, if you stopped at season 4 with Dexter, that would be a candidate for the best show ever too. But it's been, I mean, it's really half the series has just been okay at this point after season 4, cuz this is season 8. So it's really they had 3 good seasons, cuz season 3 sucked too.
Wait, season 3 of Dexter sucked?
Yeah, that was the one with Jimmy Smits.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, you can make the argument that the first season of Breaking Bad was a little rough, but you can make that argument with literally every television show. Go back and watch the first season of Dexter. That show, like, it's almost laughable.
Really?
Like, how? Yeah, it's seems like so low rent as compared to season four.
Well, you're going to be disappointed if you continue watching the most recent seasons then.
Well, I'll at least say that I'll bet that the acting in Dexter in these later seasons are at least good, but like a lot is bad with that first season of Dexter.
Okay. Back to Breaking Bad, speaking of acting, everybody on that show is so good that when you have somebody who's bad at acting, like Hank's old partner, whatever his name was, that guy's a really bad actor, and he kind of throws everything off. Like, he can't do emotion.
Wait, which one? Gomez?
Yeah, Gomez. He sucks at acting.
Oh, no, man, I like him.
Well, you like him, but he can't play. I mean, he's fine when they're just kind of goofing around and stuff, but when he has to pretend to be pissed off, it just doesn't read. It's no good.
Maybe.
He sucks.
Yeah, well, you know,
He got a good... They didn't expect that he was going to be on the show this long. And, yeah, he got the gig of a lifetime. Don't kid yourself into thinking you're a good actor, guy who plays Gomez. Got lucky.
Come on. Gomi might pull through in the end. Maybe, like, I don't know. Yeah, truth be told, I think you're kind of right.
The pinning it on Hank would completely work. He even looks like the sketch of Heisenberg.
That's like a really good point.
Unbelievable.
I didn't even think about that.
I wonder if they had that. It made me think, like, have they been planning this? Did he have this storyboarded from the beginning? Like, because everything fits together. He made a really good case for Heisenberg being Hank. It's just like, Jesus Christ.
Because, like, they always say, like, even with, like, think George Lucas and Star Wars, they always say, like, oh, yeah, I saw the whole thing from the beginning. And it's, you kind of look at the whole finished project and you think, like, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
You did not.
On this one, it really seems like he did, though. Beginning.
But yeah, like, especially with, like, Hank's medical bills and stuff like that, that was so long ago to, yeah.
Unless they just had, like, a holy shit moment, like, oh my god, we made some good choices, because now we can do this. Could have been a mistake.
Yeah, like, maybe everything's falling into place.
Yeah.
Go on.
I was just gonna say, should we wrap it up?
I'm going to have to go in and drop in a serious fucking spoiler alert, because we...
For what?
For Breaking Bad.
Oh, well, in the... At the beginning of this episode?
It's somewhere.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, just say that, like, listen, if you're not caught up on Breaking Bad, get out the second you hear us say...
The word Breaking Bad.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up on my end.
All right. Well,
did you hear that, the Survivor cast is announced and all that stuff?
No, I didn't.
We don't have to get into that now, though. Maybe we could go through the cast, on next week's episode.
Is it a All-Stars or something?
It's, like we've said, the, format is blood versus water, or blood thicker than water, some bullshit like that. And basically what they're doing is they're bringing back some favorites from previous seasons, but they're also bringing back bringing in
their family members or something.
A family member of each of the person. Yeah.
The Survivor Double Dare?
Yeah, exactly.
Family Survivor Double Dare. It sounds dynamite.
Yeah, the winner gets $1 million. All participants get Nash skateboards.
What?
It's come on,
and
Double Dare.
Get slimed.
Yeah, you don't remember, like, Nash skateboards were the participation prize for.
Oh really? No, I don't.
For
remember
all
that.
Of the all of the old Nickelodeon television shows.
You can't do this.
Someone out there was laughing real hard.
Wild and crazy kids. Nash Skateboards is laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta go.
All right.
So we'll see you next week, hopefully. I'm Jordan Strickland.
I'm Ryan Kane.
Bye.